Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick 'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It is your boy Gerard and your girl Gabby. Episode 96 of the Kicks and Shit Show. I don't even have anything.
I was like, are you faking me out with the wheel sound effects now too? Is that what we're doing, Jay?
I was like, I don't even have anything, but of course I do. Of course I do. Oh, Gabby, what is going on in these streets?
Gotta love these early morning episodes, Jay. As you guys know, Gerard and I both have been out in the streets a lot mm-hmm. with our feats.
Feats in streets, yeah.
With NBA playoffs, with a lot going on in general, different time zones. So we want to make sure that we're giving you content all the time. So sometimes, you know, Gerard's got to record in a closet. I'm in a hotel room in Connecticut. And
this is my home studio where all the voice magic happens, folks. We'll let you in on a little behind the scenes. But yes, it is a morning where I have to bang out 3 or 4 projects in here. And so, hey, this is where KNS is getting recorded.
Sometimes that happens, Gerard. I mean, like I said, I'm in a hotel room. I'm at Mohegan Sun currently. Was here for an AT documentary premiere. More to come on that one with the W, leading into Connecticut Sun's 20th anniversary this year. So a lot going on. Very happy to be away from Coachella and back on the East Coast for a little bit. What's going on with you, Jay?
Oh, you know, I am back home for now. You know, still watching NBA playoffs, not on the road, but we'll likely probably go on the road again at some point. You know, we'll see. You know, just cranking out content, you know, seeing what's happening in these here playoffs, lots of excitement. And it's funny, I kind of want to start with the playoffs here because the Jordan brand released the photos of the new Jordan Luka 1 shoe. Of course, everybody know Luka Doncic, Dallas Mavericks superstar. And it had me thinking about something, Gabby. I was watching the Pelicans Sun series. Of course, everybody knows Zion Williamson on the Pelicans, but hurt this year, did not play. Zion already has a signature shoe with Jordan Brand, yada, yada, yada. I was thinking, man, this playoff run that the Pelicans went on, of course they lost, but pushed the number one overall seed Phoenix Suns 2-6 games. All the goodwill engendered about them and that story and like these rookies and these young guys and all that. The folks at Jordan Brand have got to be like, damn, Zion could have been on this stage with his signature shoes and we got no time and none of that going on. And it's just what a missed opportunity. And I'm wondering, because we always talk about, Gabby, the challenge it is for any Jordan Brand athlete that they sign to escape the shadow of the namesake, the Jordan shoe itself. And Zion is this superhero caricature, larger than life. But are we getting to a point where people are going to be like, who? Zion who? Like, you know, like what? Or if he comes back next year, is awesome, and they go to the playoffs again, is it going to be all well and good?
I think it could be all well and good. I don't know. I think that's where the design also is super important, right? I think people are always going to be into the person that's connected to the shoe. That's a driver for sales. But I do think if the design is fire, and they've been doing some great colorways lately for the Zion one, I think that they'll help carry in the meantime. Will that mean that there's going to be other styles and that number increase of different types of pairs within that franchise? Probably not. That's where we'll see the impact, I think, especially add in supply chain issues, injuries that Zion's facing, a team that, you know, is going to have to fight for a playoff spot again next year. There's a lot of factors that go into it. So, I mean, I can only imagine that Jordan Brand has tons of plans for things, and it's waiting to hit go on if something makes sense. And depending on how the current silhouette is selling, I think is a big piece of that. But it is tough, to your point, for brands like a Jordan Brand to come up with signature shoes because it's so dependent. It's a gamble on how the player does, especially with these rookies and NIL athletes. Like, brands are starting earlier and earlier to get on board with athletes that we don't know where their potential is going to go. So that's a risk that brands seem to be willing to want to take.
Yeah, I mean, Zion could be generational, right? And I just, again, the reason why I thought about it was because of just like, you know, this Phoenix series, with the exception of the Minnesota-Memphis series, I feel like this has been the series that everybody's talked about in round one in terms of, whoa, look at these rookies and like, you know, unheralded guys. I mean, besides Brandon Ingram, who's outstanding. Like, you know, it's just like, wow. And what a stage and what an opportunity, what a missed opportunity for Jordan, Brandon, Zion. And now you look conversely at Luka. Made it out of the first round for the first time in his 3-year career. So now, I mean, right, everybody's like, oh my God, finally. I'm like, he's been in the league 3 years. Like, calm the fuck down. makes it out of the first round, right? So he's now into the second round. Got the Luka 1. So it's like, okay, and they're playing the Phoenix Suns again, that number one team. So they're going to get a lot of buzz. Like, that's an opportunity, right, for Jordan Brand to be like, okay, the Luka shoe, which I like. It's got, I like the design. It's more of that low to mid look versus a high top. You know, again, I think as you mentioned with Zion shoe, it's about the design, right? Like, how good can it be? How consistent can they be in terms of design? And, you know, I don't know how you feel about signature shoes. I mean, besides Jordans, like, and I don't mean like Jordan, Luke, or Jordan Zion. I mean like Jordans themselves. Like, what athlete's signature basketball shoes are you like, oh, I love that silhouette?
I mean, you know, I'm a fan. I stand for the KDs. Mm-hmm. Not KDs for all of them, but I like them. And I think it's interesting seeing that, you know, the Zooms for Giannis and even some of the newer LeBrons, like as we get higher up in the numbers, they're taking some of those details as well that, you know, where was I the other day? I was at, I think it was in Foot Locker. And I was like, these shoes are all starting to kind of look, have a similar look and vibe. And I think like sneakers 10 years ago, like you look at the Kobe's, it was a distinct look, whether it was a low top or that like skinny ankle, if it was a higher shoe, like that was distinct to Kobe. I think Jordan's, the way that the laces are, not just on the ones, like they were mids or highs. And like, you knew it was a bulkier shoe. He liked the weight and the stability. And I think that evolved over time, but it was always something that was like, a mid or a high, you know, stick pretty much standard low, maybe a mid, but like pretty low. And so, and I think same with Kyrie's, but I think as we start to see more of like the evolution of LeBron's, and I think the same happened with Jordan, you get away from that kind of original look and vibe and try to focus on new technologies, new styles. It's all kind of starting to blend together. So, I mean, that's something I like about the Zion one is that it's a different design. I think if it resembles anything, it's the Air Jordan 35. Mm. It's got a similar vibe to that with kind of that detail in the midsole that is like a transition moment. I know with the bubble on the 35 and the peak on the Z, but it's... I don't know. I mean, for me, KDs are the vibe.
Yeah, I like KDs.
Other
and Kyrie's too. I like Kyrie's.
And like to me, Kyrie is almost like a mix somewhere between like a KD and a LeBron. Just in terms of styles, materials, things like that. But there's a lot more similarities, like even in Paul George's sneakers, that kind of is reminiscent of like this new generation of like super athletes.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, that's what I was thinking about watching the playoffs. I mean, besides the playoffs themselves, I was struck with that moment. I was like, man, I was like, imagine if Zion was here right now, that shoe would be getting a lot of screen time. But, you know, is what it is.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the playoffs are interesting too, because, and I know we went through like this was what, a year or two ago with all the crazy trades in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm always thinking NFL, especially with it being draft week. But I feel that way a little bit about the NBA right now. Like, I still haven't gotten over the fact that Harden is in Philly. Like, it feels weird to me. Like, I'm like, this did happen, right? Like, I don't know. And the Nets getting swept, too, I was surprised about. So
I wasn't. I mean, I didn't predict that, but I wasn't surprised, right? I mean, I think it boils down to, right, the importance of having continuity and chemistry and connectivity all season, right? And it's not just about talent, right? And it's 100%. Funny, even though they were swept, right, the margin of victory combined was 18 points. Like, so, and all of those games were either tied or the Nets were in the lead late in the fourth quarter. So all games they could have won, right? But the difference you saw was Boston's connectivity and ability to execute down the stretch and the Nets' inability, with addition to their flawed roster, their small size on the wings and all those different things, right? And it's sort of this larger point about, you know, how teams go about constructing and building and what is the right method, right? Like, you still need elite talent to win titles. Like, that is still a fact. The question is, how much elite talent do you need? And, you know, can you develop other players, right, to assist you in that endeavor? And the other thing is, and I say this all the time, championships, as much as people don't want to believe it, luck plays a huge role into winning titles. Like, and it's not just luck. Like, the Orlando Magic could be the luckiest team in the world. They ain't winning shit. Okay. Like, you have to be good enough to give luck a chance, right? Like, that's the idea. And so, you know, it's really, really difficult. And when you go back, you look through history, it's a turned ankle here, a missed person here, whatever here. And that dictates and decides who ends up winning these things. And yeah, it's just something that, you know, again, teams need to consider as they're out there looking, you know, and trying to figure out what makes sense in their team building process.
No, I definitely agree. I think injury is a big piece of that. But at the end of the day, talent obviously has to be a piece of that as well. But like, if chemistry isn't king, they ain't got shit. Like, that's why the Lakers are watching the playoffs on the sidelines right now, right? They have all the talent in the world, but if it doesn't mesh well.
And it's, and the Lakers, it's all about old talent, right? Like, okay, LeBron and AD, fine, but Anthony Davis is always hurt. Russell Westbrook is not good. Like, and the problem is, in a salary cap sport like the NBA, when three players take up 95% of your salary cap, that means spots 12 through 15 on your roster can only be filled with veteran minimums, yep, rookies who are unproven. And the problem with that is that, well, they're old veteran minimum guys for a reason, right? It's because they don't command larger deals somewhere else, because the assumption is they probably can't contribute as necessary to get to the ultimate goal. And it's a larger point about, you know, and look, teams have to give super duper stars like LeBron James and Kevin Durant input. But the culture has to be a fine line between giving them input and giving them say-so over what actually happens, right? Because as good as players are, being a GM is hard, right? I mean, again, I'm going to keep trumpeting the Pelicans. Look at the New Orleans Pelicans. They played the most rookies out of any team in the NBA playoffs. And they took two games off the number one seeded Phoenix Suns. Herb Jones, Jose Alvarado. By the way, two players who anybody could have gotten in the NBA draft. Herb Jones, second round pick. Jose Alvarado, undrafted, right? Like, so these players exist. And it's not just, there are, I don't want to say thousands, but there are dozens of players like Herb Jones and Jose Alvarado out there that could help these elite teams like the Lakers 100% win. But, you know, you want to opt for Carmelo Anthony instead. And it's like, well, all right, cool. Like, you know.
No, it's a different ballgame literally right now. And I think, you know, it's always interesting. Like I said, we're going into NFL draft weekend while we're recording this. Even just like the media around Kayvon Thibodeau, right? Like, very happy that he is with my Giants. Excited to see what he's doing. But even just all the advertisements, endorsements, like rookies, a lot of the great players are not the ones that are getting these deals and eyes early on. It's the ones that are continuing to prove themselves. I mean, I think the NFL is a good indicator of that as well, where some of the best players that have performed the strongest and have the most longevity in the league are not the first pick of a team or even go first round. So have you been following along, Jay? Who are you liking so far?
I have been following along. I like what the Giants did in the draft. I mean, look, I'm kind of like football. I'm kind of off of it as a whole thing, but that's a whole different conversation. I do like what they did along the lines, right? Defensive line and offensive line, getting the tackle on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. And because that's, look, in that sport, that still matters, right? Yes, you need an elite quarterback and all that things, but if your line can't block, that doesn't matter.
Yeah,
and if you can't get pressure on the quarterback, it doesn't matter, right? Like, those two things are still primarily true about that sport. So I like that they addressed that. It was interesting that Willis, the quarterback from Liberty, did he go undrafted in the first round? I feel like he didn't get picked yet. I think second round's probably, I don't think he got picked yet. So that was interesting. I was curious to see if he was going to actually end up in the first round. So I'm going to be kind of watching his story. That's kind of the popular thing that's going on right now. And really, if you're in the NFL.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here from Cinephobe. Yeah, that podcast. It's a good one. Ascertain. Telling you right now, Prize Picks, that's the way to go. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS is just you against the numbers. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's demon time. That's right. You're asking, what does that mean? It's demon time. I'll tell you. Demons and Goblins, the newest and most exciting way to play at Prize Picks. Squares marked with red demons or green goblins get you different payouts. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That's insane. That's insane of Prize Picks to do. You know what else is insane? They offer injury insurance. so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry stays alive. PrizePicks is the only DFS platform with an injury insurance policy. And by the way, they now offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account. This football, basketball, any season you're playing. Me personally, I'm taking more than points on Joel Embiid all the time. I'm taking more than assists on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm taking less than points on Jordan Poole. Those seem to be the easy money makers for you. And you're probably wondering, Zach, how do I get involved in this? You go to prizepicks.com/ding and use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/ding. Use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Hello, listener. Have you ever used ButcherBox? I don't know if you know this about me, but I used to be a butcher. I used to work at an unnamed grocery store. I used to be that tall man behind the counter in your neighborhood, cutting up meat and preparing seafood for you. And I know that it can be a stressful situation. I know that it can be crowded. You have to wait your turn. You have to know what you want. You feel rushed. Sometimes you might think that your butcher has a bad attitude. I don't know. Happened to a friend. Couldn't possibly be me. But that's why I love ButcherBox. ButcherBox brings you peace of mind. You can easily find high quality beef, chicken, pork that you can trust is humanely raised. There's no antibiotics or added hormones. There's the ultimate convenience of not having to deal with butchers or the crowded meat counter after a long day at work. It's delivered right to your doorstep. There's always free shipping and there's incredible value. You're getting really high quality products at an amazing value. You get exclusive member deals. You get recipe inspiration, guides, hacks. A little hack from my butcher experience, the petite top sirloin, which is about half the price of the New York steak, is a very similar cut with a fat cap on one side, and you get very good tenderness out of the petite sirloin. If you've ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse and you see them talking about picanha, that's the petite sirloin. With ButcherBox, I'm always prepared. I always have meat on deck for a grill and chill, a cookout, or just making dinner at home. And I'm saving a ton of money from shopping at the grocery store all the time. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's great, but what's my reward for signing up for ButcherBox? Well, I'm glad you asked, because if you sign up at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, you will get free ground beef for life. For life. Enough ground beef to fill the Nile, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/dings.
Yes, the first round matters, but and football's different because 53-man roster, 11 people on one side of the ball, so it's way more bodies involved. But as much as the first round's important to get that top-tier talent, that ain't enough to win. It's how you build through round 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's, right, the hidden gems you can find later in the draft that help you and build your future and build depth and all that because of the high injury rate in that sport that helps you build longevity. Like, that's where the hidden gems are. Yeah, of course, everybody wants the next big star. Of course, that's just common sense. But that ain't enough. Like, right? What's the foundation? What are those other pieces that you can find? And that's where the market inefficiency is. Right? It's like, ooh, those teams that constantly hit on those third through sixth round picks and those picks turn into stars. Right? And because of where they were drafted, the salary allows the team to do other things, right? That's how you maneuver this to make it work, particularly in a sport like the NFL.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I keep saying, Dredd, in my head is Uncut Gems. we got to get a sound effect of that one, please. I know it's
I'm dead.
But it's true. You got to look for those Uncut Gems in the draft, right? Like, And I think that's where it's very easy for us to critique on the sidelines, right? What that job is like. But there's a reason that the GM job is hard. The recruiting jobs are really hard to be able to identify that talent. And then to your point, to stack the lineup around it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Instead of asking superstar players to take a pay cut and then wanting to be traded, what does that cocktail look like of the right fit and the right talent? So again, I'm really happy with the Giants. I think we've needed to look at the, especially the O-line for like what, 10 plus years now. It's been a minute. So we've had
shout out to my guy, Andrew Thomas. Andrew Thomas played really well last year. So I think he's a solid piece in that line, but yeah, we need other help.
I think it steps in the right direction, but I'm glad to see that that's a focus this year instead of us like going, instead of us just going after the flashy player, we did get Kayvon, but I do think that he's the right type of player for what we need as well. In addition to him being flashy, I will say like that Beats ad that he was in fire, but like, how do these guys run with those chains? Like, I can barely run with like a nameplate necklace. I mean,
how do these guys run with those chains?
It's a real question, you know.
It's like weight vest training, you know. It helps.
You run?
Yeah. Shout out to the Giants, Kayvon Thibodeau, and getting Evan Neal. I think, look, again, smart moves. Well, the Jets, you know, they did some interesting getting Sauce Gardner. I was like, oh, that's you know, first of all. Your name is Sauce. I mean, I like it. No, look, I mean, the thing about the draft is this is the time of year, whether it's football, NBA, whatever, where teams have hope or fan bases of a team have hope, right? Yeah. Like that's what it is. And then, of course, the reality of life hits in, like, you know, 6 months later, you're like, well, want.
That's what keeps us coming back, though, right, Jay?
But that is the dopamine hit. That is the dopamine hit that keeps you coming back, right? It's like on draft day, you feel like, okay, we got promise. We got to. So you're saying there's a chance, right? Like that's the thing that keeps pulling us back into sport. And, you know, that's what makes it still the best reality TV show going, right? Because you really do not know how it's going to wind up. Right. And there's all these twists and turns and drama and, you know, and it is a wonderful television product. So kudos to our local teams here on round one. We'll see how the rest of the draft plays out over the weekend. By the time you guys hear this, it'll be over. So you'll know who's doing what. And yeah, NBA playoffs, man. Like we got some exciting second round series already on tap. I think that Phoenix-Dallas series will be really good. Boston-Milwaukee, woo! People cannot wait for that one. Jason Tatum and Giannis Antetokounmpo going head-to-head. Not having Chris Middleton is going to really hurt Milwaukee. You know, we'll see how that goes. And Philly, yo, I got to talk about Philly for a minute.
Damn,
listen, I said it early in the week. Everybody said it. They had to win that game six because if they didn't... Game seven, the tightness in the anal sphincter region that would have been going on in that game seven.
Okay.
There would have been some nervous Nellies in that arena for game seven. But I mean, they took care of business.
I think you said tight anal sphincters. A sphincter says what?
That's like from what? We were like 12 when that we did that. Not even like 8 when that
we did Wayne's World? I mean, you were probably like 27.
Chill. That movie came out in like what, 1990? I was like 12.
I will have to say though, I know we always joke about age and like age doesn't matter at the end of the day, but Gerard and I are both at the age where you can see the generation gap in some of the references that we make. Our project I'm working on right now, they were like, oh, well, this needs to have more of a pop-up video feel. And I was like, love the reference, totally great. And then I was like, wait. Yeah. I have to talk about the reboot of pop-up video. Right.
Not the original pop-up video.
In the room. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The original pop-up video, which is, you know, fantastic. I'm still dying of just uncut gems. We need to get that. I got to find that sound effect.
Uncut gems. Yeah. I mean, there's a lack of GIFs and sound effects. I will say, may or may not have done some research in that space. But yeah, I think.
How are you feeling about Julia Fox as a...
I'm not. That's not feeling. Uncut Gems. I mean, she leaned in a little bit too much during Donda, and I don't know. I just finished the Kanye documentary, docuseries, and
on Netflix.
And I enjoyed it. Episode 3 was a little bit dragging, so I'm like, great. It doesn't need to be the Cootie Show. It's the Kanye Show.
Shout out to Cootie, by the way, who I met at Tribeca Film a couple years ago.
And I will say, I think that people, you don't realize how much footage is needed to create those documentaries. So I liked the longevity of it. But I feel like to me, that's like so Kanye. And when she all of a sudden started wearing those outfits, I was like, girl, she's like, pick me, trying to put a ring on it. It felt like a PR stunt. And like,
pick me,
you know what I mean? I'm like, we can't see you. You're covered in a mask. So, no one's picking you, girl. Sorry.
Exactly. I mean, it's, you know, Kanye's sort of like desire to dress women up like dolls. And like, it's just this whole sort of like, you know,
I need a whole other show to unpack that one.
I mean, right. there's just so much psychologically to unpack there, which, whoo. And again, I mean, I don't even have the breadth of knowledge to even get as deep as I would like to get. Right. I mean, but it's just like, there's just so much there.
Yeah. And I think like, you know, her specifically, I have no hate for her or for anyone, but it's like to me, especially now that I've been living a little bit more of this bi-coastal life, I find a lot of that in LA. And to me, that's just very LA that it's like a lot of bandwagon or let me try this because it seems like it's trendy, not because it seems like that's who I am. And I think that was what was so great about her. And like, especially even in that movie, like, she was like a muse. She did her. And then I just feel like, I'm like, homegirl, do you still? Like, if that's what you want to do, but like, don't let anyone dress you like that if you don't want to dress like that. I think she was enjoying the media circus around.
For sure. And I mean, there was a payout for her, right? Not necessarily monetarily, but in terms of clout and fame. And like, I bet now, monetarily, brands are reaching out to her like, hey, or her management team. We'd love Julia to do X. We'd love her to be this. We'd love, like, and I'm sure she's getting more auditioning opportunities at movies, whatever. So I think, you know, everything that people do in this realm is calculated, right, to serve the greater end, which is more opportunities to make more money.
Of course. And I, like I said, to me, that's like a very Hollywood thing, right? Like, and this is nothing, no shade against Katie Holmes. Love Katie Holmes. But like when she got with Tom Cruise, all of a sudden she became an icon. Right. Like she went from like Dawson's Creek, Girl Next Door, Joey Potter, all of a sudden got hers. You know what I mean? So I love her. So I don't mean any shade. I just that's the nature of the business in sometimes that what no matter what drives those relationships, whether it's love, whether it's a PR stunt, whatever it is, it's just fascinating to watch kind of like that star power shoot up or shoot in different directions. Depending on kind of the current state of those relationships.
Since you brought her up, what is your favorite Katie Holmes project?
Dawson's Creek. I mean, hands down.
I should have.
You have a different one?
I should have qualified your favorite non-Dawson's Creek Katie Holmes.
Okay, is there anything else? Like,
I mean, yeah.
Like, what is yours, Jay?
So of course, Dawson's Creek is what launched her onto the scene, and why everybody's like, oh my god, Katie Holmes. So, of course, I love Dawson's Creek, but I thought she did a really good job in the made-for-television miniseries, The Kennedys.
I thought she was great as well.
She was really good in that. I was like, because I think she's a really talented actor. I think she's a lot of range. But it's one of those things that whenever you're on some iconic show that introduces you to the masses, that is almost invariably always what someone sees you as. Even though, I mean, God, the end of Dawson's Creek was what, 20 years ago or more, something like that. I don't know.
No, not more. No.
But it's been a while since she was.
It's been a minute, yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, and she's done a bunch of other stuff since then. So yeah, I just thought that was interesting.
But I do think though, it's interesting to see who's kind of broken out of those roles, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I know for me, Phoebe Buffay will always be Phoebe Buffay. Like, I mean, there was Romy and Michelle. There's so many other.
Shout out to Lisa Kudrow. Lisa
Kudrow has done since then. But like, there's just so much stuff that I think. Perks of being in a hotel, you guys. I don't know that. Your girl is checking out in an hour yet.
Housekeeping.
No, I'm trying to record a podcast. Thank you.
I was
trying to make a straight face, and I was like, I know Gerard is hearing what's happening in the other side of my hotel room.
As soon as I heard the knocking, I literally went right to housekeeping.
But like, literally, the nicest woman ever. She was, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I heard that. I don't know what that accent was either. I feel like after you've seen Tommy Boy, you can't do a housekeeping voice.
That's without doing, yes, correct. That's the voice. That's housekeeping. You know, that's the voice you do.
I think, Jay, did we just bring it full circle? And that's us aging ourselves for those younger folks. Tommy Boy,
everyone.
Chris Farley. Chris Farley was
a comedian. A
comedian on Saturday Night Live in our generation. So look him up.
With David Spade in that movie. All right. I think we've gone full circle. I think housekeeping's interruption is our sign to say it is time to wrap this episode and wrap it up. Folks, this is what we do for you. We bring you content, even though we're on the road, we got things happening. We deliver because that's what we want to do for you. Stay tuned because, you know, we're coming up next week. We'll have, you know, guests back. We'll be back into the shoe game, figuring out what's going on. But this is the kicks and shit show. So this is the end shit stuff, right? All the other extra things going on in the world. Now, we are part of the Count the Dings family, so of course we are there with Original Bomb Show, Crypto Bros, Winning Time, Breakdown of the Lakers Dynasty. Oh my God, what other shows am I missing? Woke Bros with Waz and Nando. I'm like, man, what other shows am I missing? And that's, of course, us. We are at Kicks and Shit Show on all social media platforms. And until next time, peace.